Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press for today, November 14th, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Good to have you here with us. Sorry for not doing a show last week. Kind of got everything jumbled up. I was out of town on Monday and Tuesday, and that kind of just really set the week off on a weird foot. And then by the time it came back on Wednesday, it was really too late to do anything. So we just kind of skipped the week. Obviously, that kind of all worked out model-wise. If you're a GNN member, Tony Finau won the tournament. He was one of our highest-ranked players in the model, as you might imagine. He was, 16-1, 18-1 to kick off the week. Turned out to be a great play for the week. And won going away by four shots. So we knew that was probably going to be a pretty decent week for Tony, even though he came out for his second start of the fall at the Houston Open. He played a little bit of rusty golf at Mayakoba, a place he likes, but he knew he probably wasn't going to play too much, when to set himself up for back-to-back weeks to make it worthwhile. It turns out he's going to play three in a row. So he plays Mayakoba, not so well, plays Houston, wins. Now he's the favorite this week, which leads us into the final week of the fall wraparound season, the final fall wraparound event as we've understood it for the last 9-10 years, is this week with the RSM Classic. After this year, after this season, the PGA Tour calendar year will run from January to August, and then these fall months, September, October, November, will be some series of tournaments relating to people keeping their cards, and the top 70 players will qualify for the playoffs. Everybody else will have to keep their card in some way, and the points are probably going to be staggered in a way that's going to be really difficult for those players 70th through 125th to lose their card, or 71st to 125 to lose their card, but they're going to set it up that way. They're going to kill the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. That's already done, as we know it, where they kind of had top 75 Korn Ferry, top 75, or next 75 out of the FedEx Cup getting together. That's over and done with. So now we're going to have a year where you have 30 players who get their PGA Tour cards at the end of the Korn Ferry Tour season, and then you're going to have some kind of fall series, whatever that looks like, still very much to be determined. But as we know it, the fall ends this week. At least we've known it for the last decade. So this is a week to kind of take it in. We will do one show or two shows a week from here on out. We won't do Monday through Friday shows, just a couple shows to get you ready for tournaments. And then those are going to primarily be around what's happening in Australia and the early season tournaments on the DP World Tour. PGA Tour will be done. Obviously, we talk about the Hero World Challenge. We'll get into that for sure. Maybe a little, maybe if we feel especially degenerate, get into the PNC Championship, which actually has a pretty good field. And we'll touch on the Australian events on the DP World Tour that are co-sanctioned as well. But we're really getting toward the end of the year in terms of golf. So a couple shows a week, get you prepared for those, and then we'll move on. We'll go full video in January, and those will be available on golfnewsnet.com and our YouTube channel. If you want to look for Golf News Net, you can subscribe there. So all that to say, what do we got this week? We've got the RSM Classic, St. Simons Island, Georgia, 156-player field, $8.1 million purse. We have two courses this week. There are two courses they play for this tournament. Split them up each day. It's a pretty tight tee-off window. So, I mean, it's a couple-hour window. This is a very efficient tournament because you have those two courses. And they do it really, really well. But you've got to factor in an easier course and a hard course for the first 2 days. And then they consolidate everything for the weekend onto the host course at St. Simons Sea Island. The Seaside course is the host course for the tournament. Those are the final two rounds played there with the top 65 in ties from the first two rounds. The not defending champion is Taylor Gooch. And so you don't really have someone who can repeat. But you do have a pretty solid field, all things considered. I think like 10 top 10 players. And we do have a couple of tournaments to pull these guys away from, top 50 players away from this week. We've got the DP World Tour Championship, which we will talk about in this episode. And also, which we will not talk about because I'm not comfortable betting the Japan Tour, but there are four top 50 players competing in what's called the Dunlop Phoenix Tournament. It's one of their better known tournaments. Sometimes they do put sponsor money together to bring in players to kind of jazz up the field. They've done that this year. They got Tom Kim, Aaron Wise, Corey Connors, and forgetting the last guy off the top of my head, but Amito Pereira. So they have four top 50 players in the field for this Japan Tour stop. So you've got them there. You've got eight or nine top players in the top 50 for the Dubai tournament. So you've got a smaller pool available to you this week. That all said, pretty interesting top of the table here. Finau, as you imagine, tops the outright board 9-1. Brian Harman, Sea Island Mafia native. Guy's played pretty well. Finished runner-up to Russell Henley at Mayakoba. Has done well in this tournament in the past, 18-1. Tom Hoagie is 20-1. He has probably been one of the best players this fall, other than Taylor Montgomery. One of the most consistent. He does well in this tournament. Easy bet to slam. 22-1, Jason Day, a guy who started to figure things out and played really well in the fall. It is hard for me to get behind him very easily, but he's 22-1. Taylor Montgomery, Seamus Power, both 25-1. Power played great after the win in Bermuda, played well at Mayakoba too, took a week off. Now he's back. You have plenty of reason to like him. Taylor Montgomery may be finally gassed, didn't play his best in Houston. He may have run up against it here. I mean, he's been trying to run this race so he could secure a PGA Tour card really through the fall, and he's basically done that. I mean, he's been great. He's pretty much ready to go. Just needs maybe one more good finish throughout the rest of the year, and he's going to keep his PGA Tour card, which opens up a lot of doors for him because he'll be in good position going into the Florida portion of the schedule. But 25-1 this week. Zahid Theegala, 30-1, along with Keith Mitchell and Matthew Neesmith. I like both those guys, the latter two, Mitchell and Neesmith, a lot this week. Mitchell is a horse for course play. Neesmith is a horse for course play. Neesmith is probably one of the more underrated players this fall. Couple of ninths, a runner-up. Didn't look his best in his last start, but he still made the cut in Houston. Probably more of a bad draw than anything. And for that, you get a decent price on him. Again, 30-1. To win a PGA Tour event for a guy that hasn't won a PGA Tour event is a little crazy. So maybe you want to side with Keith Mitchell. I'm not sure, but he's also been somewhat erratic. I would go with Neesmith here in 30-1. Denny McCarthy got up to a great start in the Houston Open and then got on the bad side of the draw. Couldn't recover. Hopefully resets this week. He does play this venue well. He is 35-1 along with JJ Spawn. A couple guys at 40, Andrew Putnam, Joel Damon. Then we get into the 45s, and I think that's where it starts to get kind of interesting. Taylor Pendrith, 45-1. This is a short, short golf course. I do not think it favors someone like Taylor Pendrith, who just hits the crap out of the ball. I could be wrong, but I do not think it favors someone like that. And if you look at the winners in the history of this tournament, they're not the longest guys. Some are short-ish, medium-length guys. So I think you start thinking about a Matt Kuchar, or Kevin Kisner, who has done very poorly this fall. Patrick Rogers, 45-1. Again, I know he's never won on the PGA Tour, but that's a pretty sweet number for a guy who just crossed the $10 million threshold in PGA Tour earnings. Justin Rose, 45-1. All of a sudden playing okay golf. And he said he was very happy and relieved to be in the fight again come the weekend. Taylor Moore, also 45-1. Then you get into the 50s. Davis Riley, Webb Simpson, Wyndham Clark, Scott Stallings, Mackenzie Hughes, who has won here before. Mack Hughes could be an interesting play. He's already won in the fall, plays Southern venues fairly well, obviously has won this tournament, much different player than he was when he won that tournament, 4 years ago. That could be an interesting play at 50. People are going to put some money on Brendan Todd and Aaron Rye, who got a top 10 last week. Will Gordon was 140-1 a couple weeks ago. He's now 60-1. His market form has changed. That doesn't mean you shouldn't like him this week. Really interesting guy at 60-1. Chris Kirk, horse for course play at 65. And then you start to kind of go a little bit deeper than that. Just kind of going through the list. I'm not exactly sure there are a whole lot of deep shots to like. If you look at the PGA Tour model that we've done at Golf News Net, and go back to the end of the PGA Tour season last season and go through this past fall, you're going to see it's kind of a ridiculous run of top players. So I know we love to talk about deep guys who are 40, 50, big money plays to get you the wins. Well, guess what? Those guys aren't winning. If you look at going back to the end of the PGA Tour season, we'll start at Rocket Mortgage because Tom Kim wasn't really huge in our... I'll go back to the Scottish Open. Third, 16th, 6th, 5th, 3rd, 5th, 5th, 11th, 1st, 2nd, 6th, and Tony Finau last week in our model was number 2. Those are the guys that are winning. They are not the deep shots. Deep shots are not winning on this tour right now. And that, I mean, even 16 was Cam Smith. He was the worst ranked player in our model to win it going back to July. I mean, it's just, that's just the reality of it. So right now, if you're looking at players for this week, and we'll run the model and we'll share that on tomorrow's episode. But if you looked at last week, Sam Burns was the top of the model. Scottie Scheffler was 3rd. Tony Finau was 2. Matsuyama didn't feel great, was 4th. Taylor Montgomery, 5th. Henley, 6th. Wise, 7th. Burmester, 8th. McNealy, 9th. Denny, 10th. Noren Day. Molinari, Davis Thompson, Keith Mitchell. I mean, those are... And Mark Hubbard got himself disqualified, God bless him, last week. So, I mean, even with that model, a model that kind of predicted some different results than we got, and largely that was weather-dependent, you know, you still got the winner in number 2. So whatever we run this week, if you're looking for kind of plays to slam, and you could rule some of them out based on current form or whatever, and I'm sure that you can do that, but you got to bet the top 6. You got to bet the top 7. Somewhere in there, you got to bet at least 3 of them to give yourself the best chance to win. That is the only way it's going to work for you. Finau was 16-1. I think I said 18-1 at the start of the show. 16-1. So that's where you're betting. That's where you're betting today. And maybe you can still take a couple deep shots. But I think the way the model has been moving here in our direction, you have to see a world where you really can't get down to these 100 guys. I mean, Sepp Straka is 100-1. Russell Knox, 100-1. Sepp Straka had a great first couple of events to the fall, had a great finish to the last season, has reverted to the mean. He is who he is. He has not changed yet. I was wrong on that. That's okay. We know that about him. SH Kim is interesting. Again, a guy who put up a couple good finishes. He's 100-1. If you want to take a shot, that could be interesting there. Ben Taylor, who my model has liked a lot for a long time, and I don't understand why, but he had a very good finish, obviously, getting into the top 3 last week. So you have to like him at 130-1 if you're thinking about trying to take some deep shots. One guy that really interests me, and it's based, I think, more than anything on current form, or excuse me, horse-for-course capability, is John Ha. John Ha has just been a grinder, guy that just hangs around, doesn't go away, missed the cut last week, T27 in a place he likes at Mayakoba, got into the CJ Cup T65, T45 at Zozo. He's just putting up these blah finishes, T73 at Sanderson Farms. I mean, he just finds a way to hang on. But of all of those finishes that we just went over, T27 at Mayakoba, place he has won. Place he likes, plays those places better. So if you really want to reach this week, reach with John Ha. Go reach with him on a 130-1 and 11-1 top 10. Go do that. And then kind of leave everything else alone. If you want to love Austin Smotherman, I love Austin Smotherman. Take a look at him. Those are probably the only places I'm willing to hide past 50-1 this week. Everything else is, you're out of your mind. The model is the model. Keeps churning out the winners. You could waste your money on those shots. But if we come out with a model tomorrow that says, you know, you got to bet Tony Finau, you got to bet Tom Hoagie, you got to bet Taylor Montgomery, you got to bet Seamus Power, then you bet those guys and that's the end of it. So at least from a, not from a fund perspective, but from a finance perspective. So hopefully that model kind of renders exactly what we're talking about and we get there. Let's get into the board for the DP World Tour Championship. This is a 50-player field. DP World Tour Championship in Dubai at the Jumeirah Golf Estates. The Earth course is a Greg Norman course, so yet another Greg Norman course. I'm not a big fan of Greg Norman designs, not because of the live stuff. I just find it kind of repetitive. He creates a lot of the same holes over and over again. Nevertheless, this week the pretty solid field, especially for a 50-player field. You've got Rory McIlroy 3-1, John Rahm 5-1 in a venue they both like. Matt Fitzpatrick 9-1, venue he likes. Victor Hovland 10-1, not so much chipping, venue he likes. Tommy Fleetwood won last week 12-1, along with Shane Lowry. Tyrrell Hatton at 16. Alex Noren at 22 is interesting to me. Ryan Fox at 25, I think, is probably the best available play at 25. He let it go last week. He had an opportunity to win in South Africa in not-so-great conditions. Couldn't get up and down for a par to force a playoff, and Fleetwood won. I think this is a golf course he can like a whole lot. 25-1 makes a whole lot of sense to me. If you want to, then it starts to get long fast. I mean, you got Rasmus Højgaard, Kurt Kitayama 28, Jordan Spieth 25, Minwoo 30, and then you're getting a 40, 50, 60, deeper and deeper. I would not even attempt to go that deep. Just the way golf has been running, you're going to want to stay at the top of the board here. I think as deep as you go is 25. And maybe you pick a couple guys. Maybe you go with Fitzpatrick and Rahm and Ryan Fox and Noren, and that's your, those are your guys, and you hope against hope that Rory McIlroy doesn't win a 3-1, which just feels like a kick in the teeth. I mean, it's Tiger type numbers at the peak of his powers. It's not really worth betting unless you want to bet on Rory McIlroy to win over 4 days instead of some massive underdog in the NFL to win, you know, a one game situation, which the way the gear's been going in the NFL, you might want to favor the NFL. They have round finishing position stuff out. It is, as you imagine, follows the tenor of the outright table. McIlroy's 8-1, Rahm 11-1, Fitzpatrick and Hovland are 14, Lowry and Fleetwood are 18. Some interesting guys to look at there. Again, I could look at Ryan Fox 22, get off a good start, and maybe do something there. Top 20 plays are out there. Tournament props are out there. Wire-to-wire wins are absolutely possible in this tournament, by the way. Do I think that it's likely? No. But if you are interested in that, and you find some kind of angle that makes sense for you, it may be worth a couple bucks just to see. Now, these double and triple chance, again, I'm not in favor of them. I do not personally like them at all. I think you would rather just split your bet and bet someone, each of these people. But the pairings are interesting from DraftKings. Rory McIlroy or Matthew Fitzpatrick to win plus 165. John Rahm or Victor Hovland to win plus 250. But think about that. You have those two guys. You can have John Rahm at 5-1 or Victor Hovland at, 10-1? And you get plus 250. So if you put a full, let's just say you put a full unit on this, and you get plus 250, right? So 100 bucks, you're getting 250. Or you can put 50 on each of them. Rahm wins, you get 250. And if Victor Hovland wins, you get 500. Do not do this. I just think these are interesting combinations. And that's really the extent of it. I don't see the value in them. I understand that it makes it kind of convenient. Do not do these. It is better if in the two-person market to do it this way. Now, in a three-person market, I actually can see some interest here. And here is one of those you can probably pick off. Rory McIlroy, Ryan Fox, or Adrian Ateke. Now, I don't really even care about Ateke too much. But you get three players as a hedge bet plus 220. McIlroy himself is plus 300. I can see the value. You're giving up 80 points, right? But you're getting two players for 80 points. That's almost an insurance policy worth taking, because I think Ryan Fox can win. Adrian Ateke could win, but if you really like Adrian Ateke, go bet him separately. But you have an insurance policy on that wager. If you look at John Rahm, you have Højgaard and Thurston Lawrence. Thurston Lawrence never gets any respect in these betting markets. And maybe he's not big time, but you got Rahm at 5-1, and you're getting two more players, you're giving up 200 points. So you get 3-1 on that. That's not the worst, and I might even be able to sanction that. But after that, you're kind of getting you're giving up a little too much for what you're getting. So I will be willing to look at those two plays specifically this week. 72nd hole prop. Interesting to note. This is a par 5. It's not the hardest par 5 in the world. It's also not the easiest. But winner to bird the 72nd hole. Yes, plus 150. No, minus 220. I would slam the yes at plus 150. Just the way that I think about it. Bogey or worse, 72nd hole. Yes, plus 600. No, minus 1600. Would not touch that. But birdie the 72nd hole, I would absolutely look at that for the week. Just the way that it goes. Holes in one this week. 200-1, everybody. Which means it's not very likely. You're not even getting much help out there on the scorecard. Not very likely to win. Leave that alone for the week. DraftKings is typically not very quick with the LPGA odds. They have their season-ending CME Group Tour Championship this week. The odds are not up for that. We will do that on tomorrow's show, where we go over our model for the RSM Classic. We'll touch maybe a little bit more on dialing in the DP World Tour. We'll see if there's any movement there. The handle should be light again this week. You're not going to see a whole lot moving from Monday to Tuesday. So if you take your time, you probably aren't missing anything. And just we'll throw this one quickly out there because it's just a few weeks away, about a month away. We haven't talked about this. The Match 7, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, plus 100. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, minus 120. Even money on Rory McIlroy right now? Yeah, I'll take that. I think that might be the way to go. That might be the side here. Might not even need Tiger Woods to win, honestly. So I would look at that very strongly. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for your support throughout the fall as we get this concept underway and going. If you have any questions, get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Become a member, golfnewsnet.com. You can shoot me a message on Twitter, @RyanBellinger. Happy to answer any comments, questions through those various channels. And we will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.